It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech. John C. Dvorak's here with Will Harris. Father Robert Ballister will talk about Marissa Mayer, the new CEO of Yahoo, and Microsoft's first ever loss. It's all coming up next on TWiT.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for TWiT is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 363, recorded July 22nd, 2012. Who is Stalin? This Week in Tech is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix. All you need is a webcam and a click to turn your online meeting into high-definition video conferencing. Meet with colleagues anywhere in the world, even from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today at GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and use the promo code TWIT. And by the new Squarespace. Squarespace introduces a new content management system, making it faster and easier to create a high-quality website or blog. Plus, more than 50 new features, including mobile-responsive designs with automatic device scaling. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code TWIT7. And by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, visit Stamps.com, click the radio microphone, and enter TWIT. And by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get 2 free books. Go to audible.com/TWIT2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter, user ID audible_com. It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech. We're going to take a look at the week's tech news with a very esteemed panel of pundits, starting on my left with Mr. Will Harris, channelflip.com, joining us from Oxfordshire.
Hello. It's been quite a while, so it's an absolute pleasure to be back.
How are the hobbits in the Shire?
The hobbits in the Shire are fantastic.
We actually are having you on for one reason only, because we want our Olympic update. So what is the Olympic update? God.
The Olympic update is disaster zone. It's all going to be awful, as far as we can tell, or certainly as far as the papers over here say. I'm unfortunate enough to have my office next to one of the big event centres in London where they're doing the horse riding.
Oh.
And because of the lottery system where they allocated tickets, I sort of have all the inconvenience of everybody coming to where I am to come and watch the Olympics, but none of the tickets or any niceness to actually make up for it. So for me, it's a complete Olympic disaster. And, you know, there's been all the stories that the bus drivers don't know how to drive from the airport to the Olympic Village.
And 4 hours, one of the Olympians was lost. This is going to be the most tweeted Olympics ever, right? We're going to know everything that happens.
And the border patrol people here, like the you know, the people that police the airports to check immigration status, are going on strike the day before the opening ceremony. So that's nice.
One L and Will's.
So it's just basically going to be. I mean, we Brits are a cynical bunch at the best of times. If this isn't the most cynical I would be surprised.
I thought you're famous for stiff upper lipping everything.
Well,
I was referring to something else.
That's Dizzy Gillespie. Hey, there's Mr. John C. Dvorak. Very nice to see you, John. Love the shirt. A little batik number in blue and gold for the Cal colors.
Yeah, I guess it's
bluish.
Bluish.
And we are now drinking a little Trefethen from Napa County, a little Cabernet Sauvignon. It's all right.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's okay. John's an enophile. Also with us. He's not drinking, I would like to say, just in case the Heavenly Father wanted to know. Mr. Padre S.J., Robert Ballister.
I'm not having any Trefethen because I heard it puts you to bed after turkey dinners.
That's right.
That's something else.
That's right. That's something else. Anyway, welcome to This Week in Tech. We have a nice audience, about 25 people who have come from all over, including New Zealand, Atlanta, Philadelphia. They beat our Giants this afternoon. Mm. And points elsewhere. Texas. So I guess the big story, and it must have been a bit of a shocker to y'all, is Marissa Meyer is now the CEO at Yahoo. They announced it Monday. She walked into her office on Tuesday.
There you have it.
The company is completely transformed.
Yeah.
What do you think? You must have been surprised. I mean, that. In fact, I think
I wasn't that surprised. I mean, the Yahoo board has been making idiotic decisions since the beginning.
You think this is an idiotic decision?
What experience does she have? I mean, just tell me what it is. I mean,
13 years at Google, 20th engineer. She was in charge of search at Google during the heyday.
I'm talking
of
about
search.
Management experience. What management experience does she have to run a multi-billion-dollar company as a CEO? If she has some, tell me what it is.
She's 37. She's got a lot of energy. Young woman.
Uh-huh.
She's certainly going to attract engineers.
Yeah, you nailed it.
She's going to attract engineers because they're going to be excited about having somebody high profile like that. Michael Arrington wrote Marissa Meyer a new hope for Yahoo. He said, she's so good that it's very likely that Yahoo didn't even have the guts to call her. She probably called them looking for a new challenge. Mm-hmm. She's worth $300 million. She's not doing it for the money.
No. Well, she's going to get $100 million more, so maybe she's
going to get some
money.
Yeah. Mark Andreessen says he's shocked Yahoo was able to hire someone of Meyer's caliber. Fred Wilson says Yahoo is no longer dead to him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this just shows you the sycophantic nature of the entire Silicon Valley. Seriously. It's almost pathetic how pandering they are.
On the other hand, I loved this. This was Nicholas Carlson writing at Business Insider who just dished the dirt. He said we spoke at length on the phone with a former Google executive who worked with Meyer and said twice, this is a great day for Google and a nail in the coffin for Yahoo. Wow.
I'm not going to go that far. I mean, she won't do she's just going to – I wrote a column in PC Mag about this and saying she's actually going in – and I don't wish her ill, but she's going into a snake pit and she's just going to be eaten up and spit out. If she lasts a year, I'll be stunned.
Well, this is their fifth CEO in just a couple of years. They keep going – I mean, they had Terry Semel, who was the Hollywood guy. Then he left. Jerry Yang took over. They had an interim CEO. Then they had Carol Bartz, who lasted less than a year.
Right, and Thompson.
Then Scott Thompson, who lasted less a few months because of his resume inaccuracies.
Yeah, no, this is, again, the board. What's changed that all of a sudden this is a genius hire? They screw up.
You're saying just another one. Well, here's one thing that's maybe changed. And I think this was from Kara Swisher, who seems to have great sources. She thinks it's activist investor Dan Loeb, a guy who's been an outsider.
There's no evidence of this.
You may be right. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I think it's kind of interesting that they've gone with Marissa rather than Ross, because that makes kind of a pretty distinct statement about what Yahoo wants to be, right? We're always saying, what is Yahoo and what does it want to be? Ross Levinson was the media guy, the ad guy, the guy that was set up to take Yahoo into the big media business, right? To be the next big media brand. Marissa Meyer is completely not that. She is product, she is engineering, she is tech. I think that says that Yahoo wants to be a business that's focused on product and technology and startups and building sort of user experiences rather than focused on advertising. And I think it's a pretty interesting choice that, a lot of people I talked to inside Yahoo thought that Levinson was the right guy for the job, because internally everyone's kind of moving in this advertising direction, but it seems like the board and Marissa have probably got other ideas.
Well, that is the question. In fact, I think we posed this on This Week in Google. Yahoo seems to have a choice, and Meyer acknowledges this, between being a media company and a web services company. Web services like Flickr, media like OMG, and a lot of other.
What was your conclusion on the show, the Google show?
We felt that she would take, that Terry Semel started it down this content company direction, this portal company, and that she would take them in the opposite direction, the web services company, abandon a lot of the content plays. Now, I don't know. What is the strong suit for Yahoo? Is it Yahoo Finance, Yahoo Sports?
Yahoo, you named the two.
Yeah.
Flickr, and Yahoo Sports, they've actually developed reporters. They're very famous amongst the, if you listen to sports talk shows, Yahoo guys are really famous.
No, they have a good team.
They have a great team. They got good editors. I don't know who they are. I mentioned in my PC Mag column that nobody knows who these people are that are actually running a lot of the stuff.
Yahoo's kind of unfathomable. If you make that decision to be a content company, you're right. Marissa Meyer is absolutely the wrong person. She's an engineer. She's a web services person, right?
You know, I mean, you never know what somebody's really like until they get a job like this. She might be very content oriented, right, for all we know. I'm not concerned about that.
She's got very little management creds. She's got even fewer media creds, right? I mean, the only reason you would bring her in was if Yahoo was deciding web services company, not media company.
Or,
logically.
Or, as John is saying, flailing and just picking the biggest name they could get and say, hey, you save us.
And you know, that may all be true, but what Marissa gives Yahoo is a detachment from a list of failures in content creation. Yahoo's been trying to build up this content empire. They've been trying to recreate their own little walled garden, and they've been doing very poorly at it, aside from sports and finance. So what Marissa can do is she can give them a clean break. She can go in and be the super micromanaging B-boss that kills off the products that don't fit her vision of the future. And that's not a bad thing. It's just an unknown quantity.
Well, here's another thing. In fact, you always have to consider the fact that she was marginalized at Google, which is one of the reasons she quit.
Right. That's the only real piece of evidence we have.
And that's not a good thing.
Yeah. That her own Google keepers didn't want her.
But
in fact, there's a quote. This is another quote from the Business Insider article, which is, you know, it could be completely wrong, but it's fun to read because it's so dishy.
Yes.
This is a quote from a Google executive. Marissa is a nightmare of a human being, but she gets things done. If being a good person were necessary to be a CEO, we wouldn't have Apple, and a lot of other CEO roles were empty. I think the real problem is we don't know anything about Marissa Meyer. I have watched every speech. I've seen her interviewed by Mike Arrington on the stage, and she's so well media trained, she says nothing.
Yes, that's true.
Nothing. And I don't think we even know who Marissa Meyer is. We have to use these gossipy articles to try to understand who she is as a person. I don't think we know.
I've always thought, by the way, that Yahoo should have brought in, even though it would never happen, Steve Case.
Former AOL founder.
Because they're trying to be AOL. Right.
Isn't that a failed strategy? Isn't that the problem?
I don't know. Is it?
It's an old strategy.
You don't know what the failed strategy is because you can't figure out what they're up to. They're still making money. It's not like a losing operation.
No.
But it's fading, and you don't know if it's because they don't know what they're doing, which is a possibility,
right?
Or if it's because of the infighting. Or it reminds me of when Hearst took over the Examiner. They put him in there, and then I went over there to work for
a while. William Randolph Hearst III.
The third, your friend.
The grandson of the original William Randolph Hearst.
He put him in, and the place was a nightmare. It had been – all these little empires had been created.
You were a columnist then.
Yeah. Yeah, and I went in there a lot, and I'd see that this is never going to get fixed because there's all these little mini empires that have been created and established, firmly established.
Sounds like Microsoft.
Well, Microsoft has other issues with their stack ranking, and they turn people over. But Yahoo, I think, is filled with this sort of thing. And I don't think you're going to budge them at all. She's going to go in there. Nothing's going to get done. They're going to submarine her efforts. She's going to get frustrated. The numbers aren't going to come in that they're looking for, and she's done.
Don't you think that if they were looking for a kind of the sort of AOL connection, that John Miller would have been a good person to go for?
I think there's like a half a dozen people that have been a good person to go for, but I think whoever said this, I think there's some truth to it. They wanted to make a big splash, and this made a big splash. I give them credit for that.
They're getting what they want. They've got buzz. Whether or not you like her or you hate her, there's people who say she's brilliant. There's people who say she's a nightmare of a human being. People are paying attention to Yahoo again, and that hasn't happened for a while. So, I mean,
no, we love Yahoo. This has been a great soap opera for the last
it's been
three
going
years.
On for a while. We've been
it's been really fun. Microsoft tried to buy them for, $60 billion? I mean, the whole thing has been hysterical. 31.
Another botch.
And I wonder at this point if Steve Ballmer is still saying, dodge that bullet. I bet he is.
Actually, from the sounds of some of these Steve Ballmer articles, he's probably not saying that.
Who knows what he's saying? He's saying developers. This is the other view. This is again from the Nicholas Carlson article at Business Insider. The other view, more common amongst longtime Googlers, and I have to say, given my experience, this is the one I would kind of say seems accurate, is that Meyer is a publicity-craving, lucky, early Googler whose public persona outstripped her actual authority and power at the company, where she was once a rising star, thanks to a bullying managerial style, but had become marginalized over the past couple of years. I mean, that's for sure true. She was, we don't know why, because we, I mean, I don't know why, but she was definitely marginalized over the last couple of years. She wasn't selected by Larry Page to be part of his five executives who run Google. I thought that was interesting. They moved her to local.
Well, she might not get along with Page.
Maybe it's just that.
It could be a personality.
Could just be that. You're absolutely right. It's really, it's a, we don't know, I guess, is the...
We know that she was a dragon lady. We know.
Do we know that?
Well, we know that she used to do things like make executives, her colleagues, sit outside of her office and take these little five-minute appointments to find out what was going on.
But this is
sounds exaggerated.
This is how you can spin it. So, you know, Gina Trapani said, "Hey, this is great." She was open to people. She had office hours, and people, anybody from anywhere in the company, could come and talk to her. Sure, they had a lineup because everybody wanted to talk to her. You could spin it like she was very open.
My doctor's the same way.
Right. She's just everybody wanted to talk to her. I don't know.
We'll find out. The proof's in the pudding. We'll see what happens.
It's really fun to watch mainstream media like People Magazine cover this because, of course, Marissa Meyer is 6 months pregnant. She posed for a Glamour magazine photo shoot, and that's, of course, the picture that People Magazine used of her and her red designer dress on her red yoga ball. And these are the five
ball you used to sit on.
I still sit on. These are the, but I don't have that red dress. These are the, and the, I definitely don't have the legs.
You sure?
These are the five things that People Magazine wants people to know about Marissa Meyer. You ready?
Oh, this is going to be deep.
She made history. She was the first female engineer at Google. She's glamorous. And so is her apartment. Her cupcake recipe is better than yours. And she's going to be a mom. Isn't that all we really need to know
about
Marissa
Meyer? And
you wondered
what kind of management experience she had. It's right
there. Her cupcake recipe.
People Magazine. Thank you.
She looks a lot better in that dress than I would. I'll just say that.
There really isn't much to say. She is getting an interesting salary structure. They're giving her $1 million, but the potential for doubling that if she performs, maybe even tripling that. They're also making whole $14 million. We know this because it's a public company, so they had to file this information. $14 million in Google stock she left on the table. She's worth $300 million. I don't think she did this for money. She's getting potential bonuses worth, I think, another $31 million.
Sounds like money to me.
But it's all vested over 2.5 to 3 years.
Oh, big deal. She's fun.
It is a big deal if you look at the average term of CEOs. She's going to have a hard time staying that long.
Yeah, that's true.
She's already put out a memo. Of course, Kara Swisher has it. She seems to have some sort of inside pipeline. We asked Kara to join us. She couldn't do it today. But she says the first memo to Yahoo's, which said very clearly, do not forward.
Do not forward? So that she forwarded it
immediately
right away?
Forwarded it to Kara Swisher. Huh. Yeah. I couldn't be more excited to be here. Thank you for the warm welcome. And her main point of this is don't stop, move forward. Please don't stop working. That's a bad situation. When you're in a company, they got a new CEO, and what she has to tell them is, whatever you do, keep doing what you've been doing until I can figure out what it is.
Well, it's actually kind of naive for her to even say that because people do not necessarily stop because a new CEO's got in. Where'd she get that idea that they would?
They're all just going to stop and wait and see what Marissa does. And it's kind of a good point.
But that's her style.
I think they're probably all sitting and having the same conversation that we are, which is Marissa's come in.
Now
does that mean all this product stuff that I've been working on is out the door? Or does this mean all this media stuff I've been working on is out the door? Maybe I'll just kick back for a few weeks while she works it out.
You saw the, what do they call these? The single-serving website, DearMarissaMeyer.com. And then Flickr responded to it. So here's DearMarissaMeyer.com. Please make Flickr awesome again. Thanks, the internet. That's it, one page.
Sounds like the letters that come into the Jim Rome.
But then there was a response, which is great, from the Flickr team. Let me see if I can find that. Flickr responds. That was Sean Bonner who did the original single serving site. And Flickr has responded. Let me see if I can find it. Dear internet. Come help us make Flickr awesomer. Flickr.com/jobs. I like that. I don't know. This is the modern form of corporate communication, but single-serving internets sites, they call these single-serving websites. Had you heard that phrase before?
No, and I can see where I hope. If I didn't know about it, I probably wouldn't make any difference in my life. I'm sure that's going to disappear soon. This is material is not good.
This is not good. All right. Well, we'll move on. How about that? Will that make you happy, John C. Dvorak?
No, I think it's. I'd like to talk about this. I find it fascinating. The main thing I'm still fascinated about is that they do have a clue about certain things at Yahoo, and it's never been exploited properly. They've got that sports thing going, which is amazing. And their finance site is the one I use.
I use it all the time.
It's very easy, and it's very logical. It has a uniqueness to it that's better. I check it out against the Google one. It's better than the Google one.
Now, it's interesting because if you enter into a Google search, you enter in a stock ticker symbol, you're going to get, of course, Google Finance. But it's interesting because they do have a link to Yahoo Finance on the search result.
It's usually the second one.
It's the second one, of course, not the first. And then MSN Money, Daily Finance, CNN Money. But you know what we should do is let me just I'll click on both of them here. Let me see here. Let me do this. This will be interesting. So here's Google Finance and here's Yahoo Finance. So on the Google Finance, you've got, you know, everybody's got the charts. You got the historic information.
It's the left-hand side that's weak on the Google one.
Where you have news options.
There's nothing to drill down that's logical. If you look in the Yahoo.
Here's Yahoo. And look at this. Charts, interactive charts.
And it's very logical. Headline. You can figure out the profile of the company.
You're right.
The stats.
You know what? You're absolutely right. This is much more valuable on the left here.
Notch.
You're absolutely right. Who the major stockholders are.
It's got the competitors. You want to do a competitive check. Then you drills even deeper because when you click on any one of those things, there's another bar of information.
Right.
You can drill down. And some of the stuff you run into on this is like, wow, what kind of a deal did they get to even have this information?
Right. Yeah, I have to give it to you. This is Yahoo Finance absolutely is best Google Finance. And plenty of ads on here. I mean, I'm sure it's a profitable site for them.
Now, John, you'd know this more than I. I've got a couple of geek friends who are no longer with Yahoo. And one of the things that they emailed me as soon as they heard about this was, she's going to be challenged by how talent poor Yahoo has gotten. That they've let go a lot of their most imaginative engineers.
Well,
and
people
managers.
Like Stuart Butterfield and Katarina Fake, who started Flickr, and Joshua Schachter, who started Delicious, stayed there a little while and said, this is not fun, and left.
And the guys who are left are just beat down. They're just
more hacks.
Hoping they don't lose their jobs.
Maybe they're just hacks because it can't go anywhere else. Wouldn't you rather have a...
Well, see, this is the problem again. Yahoo is somewhat impenetrable when it comes to figuring out what's going on behind the curtain. And people do go into it like Lauterbach did, was going to work there for a while.
Really?
Yeah, and then he came out and says, I wouldn't touch this place with a 10-foot pole. It's a mess. There's nobody nobody knows what they're doing. The command lines are all skewed. People are reporting to, they don't know who... which again, I think is why you'd have these little empires built within. And I think it's probably part true that you'd have a bunch of, incompetence in one group. But then you, again, like I said, the finance group, the sports group, and some of these other subcategories probably don't have this problem. So I think Lauterbach probably was right. It's a mess. We don't know.
And a good manager could come in, make a chart,
organizational expert.
Yeah. But see, that's where they are right now. They were describing this environment where you had all these people who were just struggling to be above the board. They knew where the next line of cuts were going to be. They just wanted to be above the line.
Right.
That's not really inspiring confidence or imagination.
All right, I'm going to throw one more idea out. Somebody said to me, this is great because of Marissa Meyer's connections at Google, Yahoo could maybe merge or do a deal with Google to share some content. Maybe say we'll use Google search instead of Bing search. Maybe
it would be smart.
Could be a rebirth. I have the other idea. What if Yahoo joined this axis of evil against Google? Yahoo, Facebook, they just buried the hatchet and became buddies. Apple and Microsoft together against Google. They all four hate Google.
I would take your side on this. Because it's more logical if Marissa left Google angrily.
Right.
Because she was pushed to the side, she would have a grudge. And this would be the first thing. I think you nailed it. I think I would be all in on that.
Very interesting. I mean, Yahoo and Facebook already have kind of started to combine forces. Microsoft and Yahoo have have a lot of deals going forward with Bing.
The Four Stooges.
The Four Stooges versus Google.
Yeah, good luck with that.
It's some of the worst run companies in tech versus one of the best run companies. I want to see that.
There is some debate, by the way.
It's going to be highly entertaining.
If this is the Axis or the Allies, we don't know which it is. Depends on your point of view. What do you think, Will Harris? Google is the Allies or the Axis powers?
I think it's pretty hard to decipher at this point. I guess they're the Axis on the basis that there's only one of them, And the Allies, there are multiple of them. So I guess by default, that makes them the Axis. Although, so, no, the Axis had a couple, right? Because they had Russia as well.
Yeah, they had Mussolini and Hitler and Generalissimo Francisco Franco.
Yeah,
but then if you think about
it. Tojo, don't leave him out.
Tojo, that's right. But if you think about it, you got Churchill, you got Roosevelt, you got Stalin. I think that's Yahoo, that's Facebook, and that's Microsoft. No, wait a minute. Stalin is Facebook. Which one is Stalin?
Which one's Roosevelt?
I don't know who's Roosevelt.
You know, our audience doesn't really know that. I think they're more
in fact, our audience is going, who the hell are they talking? Are these some characters in
Yalta,
the new
I'm
game?
I'm talking about Yalta. You remember Yalta?
Right. They're Team Rocket from Pokemon.
Yeah, there we go. Now you're talking. Okay, let's get it back Rocket? Up to, yeah, we're, yeah, these references are no good.
Actually, Tim Cook is Stalin. We all know that. All right. Actually, he's more like Trotsky. We're going to take a break.
Just because he looks a little like Trotsky.
He does look a little like Trotsky, doesn't he? We're going to take a break. Come back with more. John C. Dvorak is here. Father Robert Ballister. We're going to talk a little bit about what's coming up on Monday. Mm-hmm. Something exciting tomorrow.
Yes.
Yes. Episode 2. And from Channel Flip, Mr. Will Harris. Will, are you still at Channel Flip? I know you sold it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're part of the amazing Shine Group now, which is a TV production company that makes all kinds of amazing stuff in a gazillion different countries.
And it's going well? You're happy?
It's going very well. We're just about to launch some very exciting new channels on YouTube. And
really?
Yeah, loads of viewers.
So you think those YouTube channels, you think that YouTube channels, are you one of those YouTube partners, the $100 million YouTube partner, or are you just doing a channel?
No, YouTube. So YouTube spent all its money on American companies, right?
Right.
So we're having to sort of make do amend over here.
Still haven't seen the Shaquille O'Neal channel. Have they launched that?
I think it could work. I think it could work.
I don't know. Have they?
I don't think they've
Why
launched
would
it.
You
they,
care?
They made a big deal. Because YouTube said we got $100 million. We're going to give it. They got Felicia.
So they're going to give it to that guy.
They launched it, but it hit the rim and bounced off.
Yeah, as he tried to slam it.
Nothing but internet. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back with more of our panel. And story 2, the Russian hacker versus Apple. But first, a visit to GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting.com is the meeting software we use all the time. It's, you know, we've been using it for years as a great way to share screens with somebody you're meeting with. If you've got a PowerPoint presentation showing a client, it's easy for them to use, easy for you to use, completely secure Mac and PC compatible. But the folks at Citrix have this great philosophy. They're just going to keep making this stuff better. Same price. Set, you know, you're a customer. You continue to use it. But they just add features. So then they add the ability to use your iPhone or your iPad to attend a meeting. Then they add HD faces. So now you've got video. If you visit GoToMeeting.com, you can see this in action. Actually, the best thing to do is to try it. There's a 30-day free trial because until you see how good this video is, better than Skype, better than anything. We should start probably using it for the show. Visit GoToMeeting.com. I click the try it free button. But before you do that, watch this video because you can see it in action. You can use an iPad and the camera and the mic and the speakers built into the iPad to attend a meeting. And the video is great. The ability to see somebody as you meet with them, especially in the summertime, people are on vacation, they're traveling, they're all over the place. Nowadays, companies are distributed everywhere. It's just fantastic. You can shrink or expand using the iPad's, you know, built-in gestures, rearrange the photos, the video of people. It's just really neat. A great way to meet. So here's the deal. Don't believe me. Don't believe a video. Go to the website. GoToMeeting.com. Click the try it free button. The promo code for our show is TWIT. So click promo code, enter TWIT. 30 days free. Have as many meetings as you want, as long as you want. Really, you know, knock yourself out. Get a sense of what this can do, and I think you'll be very impressed. You will never do another conference call again without GoToMeeting, I can tell you that. GoToMeeting.com, trial code, promo code is TWIT. Please give it a try. Story 2, Russian hacker discovers problem with in-app purchasing, sets up server in Russia. And apparently hijacks 30,000 in-app purchases in games. Apple says, nah, nah. So they quickly get the Russian server folks to shut down the guy's server. He takes it offshore, keeps running it. He says, I'm not trying to make money. I am just trying to demonstrate problems. Apple will fix this. They say it won't be really fully fixed until iOS 6, which won't be out for a few months. Apple says, we have a method for validating receipts for in-app purchases, and it's just that most apps don't do it.
I don't really understand, Leo, how he sort of hide. Is he hijacking it from other people's apps?
It's a man in the middle attack.
Exactly. I'll let you explain this, yeah. Mr.
So the way that Apple runs iTunes is iTunes just acts as the authentication server. So when you buy something from iTunes, you get a receipt saying you've purchased it, you've paid your money. Then you go to the server of the whoever has actually made the app, and you get to download it. What they've done is they've been able to create a fraudulent certificate. So it looks as if you've bought the product. Your device receives the receipt. Then when you go to the server of the manufacturer, they let you download it. And then when that manufacturer tries to redeem their money with iTunes, iTunes has no record of the purchase.
Oh, so the developer gets no money.
Right.
You get a free upgrade to your game or whatever. And we don't know, you know, it's not clear what Borodin gets out of this.
He gets something.
I gotta
he's not
think
in
he
it
does.
For the money.
He's keeping it alive.
This is the old. Do you remember this? 10 years ago, it always used to be, we're not doing this out of maliciousness. We're just using it to show that there's a vulnerability. And then that kind of went away because people said, oh, that's BS. So now he's trying to use it again. I guess it's new again.
Yeah, Russians are not up to speed on these things.
Hey, it's out of date excuse. Get new excuse.
With moose and squirrel.
With moose and squirrel. A story. I'll move on. That's all we need to say. I just want an excuse to.
It was good.
Russian accent.
I like the out of date excuse thing. That's a line.
What is this thing, by the way? This looks like we're having hors d'oeuvres made out of circuit boards. What is that?
This is Twit's brand new Wi-Fi array. So we've been having difficulty with Wi-Fi in here.
We have.
This is one of the devices that we're going to be having on our show, Twiit, this week in Enterprise Tech. This is from a company called Xeris. And what it does is it divides the 360 degrees around the array into multiple slices.
So these are little Wi-Fi megaphones.
Right. Those are APs, self-contained
access. Each one of these is an access.
Yeah, they're
point.
All separate. And,
right.
And but here's a question I'd have immediately, which
this is aiming it
so
at.
I've got my account, my password. Or do these all have the exact same
credentials?
It all looks exactly the same. It's not that there's actually 24 radios.
What if I move? I'm logged on to this one. It's talking to
is
number
hand
five
off,
there.
Hands off from what you can walk all the way around.
Where's the hand?
Matter.
Where's the circuitry for that?
This
in the middle?
Dead center. So there's one controller.
What does this thing cost?
Now you're asking a good question.
It depends.
Okay,
this is a higher-end
it.
Unit. This is a higher-end unit.
Yeah.
This is all enterprise. So, I mean, of course, it's going to cost more. But you can put one of these up in the middle of a conference hall, whereas you would have to deploy 100 access points.
You could handle 1,000 people easily.
I think
on this.
That one tops out at about 4,500.
Wow.
Something like that.
Okay.
20 grand, John.
Is it 20 grand?
Yeah.
Just about.
It's too rich for my blood.
I'll get you a discount.
Yeah, 10?
10%.
10%. That's what I need.
This is cool.
I'll just take the 10%.
This is cool. That's really fun. So that's the kind of thing you'll be talking about on this week in Enterprise. You know, it looks like a giant smoke detector.
If it works, it would be worth it.
And I can vouch for that.
Well, this is a good test.
Because it's better than a bunch of repeaters.
This is a good
and
test. This is such a nightmare RF zone here.
Why is this?
I don't know, actually.
Yeah.
But we have had to do
probably
all sorts
things.
Of things. Yeah, I don't know. Everything gives off RF, you know, even our little cameras.
All right, you got RF coming out of everything.
RF coming out of every orifice.
It's a nightmare.
I'm sweating RF.
I'm surprised
the
that they went.
The signal's coming out of your RF.
I think Skype stuttered there a little bit there, Will. I don't know.
Yeah, that must be it.
It must be it. Story number three, the Nexus 7. Oh, have you played with this yet?
I have one, yeah.
What do you think?
I got the same one with the white back.
Yeah, that's the Google I.O. edition. I got the regular one.
Oh, I don't have. Wait a minute. Oh, that's right. I never put a password on mine, so it doesn't do that.
The face recognition thing?
No, I didn't. Mine's just wide open.
See if you just put on a priest collar, see if you could trick it.
Hi. No, he's got a thing. You know, I find these things somewhat. I play a little Angry Birds on it. I find it somewhat useless.
Play a little Angry Birds.
I mean, seriously, what do you do with this?
I look
thing?
Up a little.
A little solitaire. I could see. I loaded some movies on it, even though it's only got 6 or 8 gigabytes of storage.
16, yeah,
sucks.
It's not got a lot of storage.
So I put about 5 movies on here. When I go on an airplane, I'll watch these movies and probably play a little solitaire and then maybe a little Angry Birds, and then I'm coming home. And by the way, have you ever taken the battery down to zero on this thing?
Not yet.
Oh! It takes weeks to recharge it.
Well, no, you're not using the thing that came with it. It's got a 10-watt charger. It's five.
I'm using the USB on my computer.
No, that's why. It has a non-standard charger that comes with
that
it.
That boosts it a little
bit?
Yeah.
There's something two amps, five volts at 2 amps.
Really, really takes a lot of jolt to get it.
If you've ever tried to take apart an iPad, you know you need a special screwdriver and a heat gun to remove the glue. This is how Asus designed this tablet. All you need.
He's gripping
his fingernails.
Are sharp fingernails.
He's got sharp fingernails. I'll vouch for that.
Inside. Now, is it glued together?
Jeez Louise, John. He's so excited he jumped.
Not only is it not glued together, but the battery is user replaceable. And here's the greatest part: you can see what features they're going to include on the next version.
There's some empty slots there.
So you can take and put a different back on this thing. Well, it looks like it's got a lot of crap on the back.
This is the antenna for the NFC, the antenna for the GPS, the antenna for the Wi-Fi, and this is the antenna for the LTE radio.
It doesn't have LTE.
It doesn't have it, but it's got the slot.
So there's a hole for a camera. Don't worry about it. It's just a piece. You don't need it. If it fell out, you don't need it. John's shaking it now.
If it's not attached, it can't be.
Right. How important could that be? Apple glues that stuff in.
It's a nice looking unit from a.
I think it's very nicely designed. Asus makes good stuff, but also the price is really what's compelling. And in fact, according to sources speaking to The Guardian, Charles Arthur there, the company severely underestimated demand for the device. The Guardian says that they've run out. They have run out. The 8-gigabyte version is still available. It ships within 3 to 5 days, but everybody wants to spend the $50 extra, get 16 gigs, because it's not a lot of storage. You can't add an SD card. And they say there are no more.
Is there any way of putting an extra? I don't see the memory module.
No, you can't add memory to it.
There's not even a header on this, so there's no place to add in a slot.
So
it's interesting. The guys at Business Insider reckon that Amazon is working on a bigger Kindle Fire to compete with the iPad. But it seems to me, with the success of the Nexus 7, Amazon needs to think about making like a better Kindle Fire, right, to compete with the Nexus 7.
I agree. Yeah, that's it. I think Amazon's scrambling right now, and I think that what Amazon showed with the Kindle Fire is that the $200 price point is very compelling.
It's magic.
It is magic.
But people bought the Kindle Fire because it was $200.
Because it was.
People buy the Nexus because this is a damn good tablet.
Because it's good, and it's $200.
And it's $200.
Well, I still find it to be of dubious
value. Do you play with
your
iPad?
I don't have an iPad.
There you go.
I have a laptop. I use laptops. I mean, there's a keyboard here. I can actually do a lot of work. It's hooked to the internet. I don't see what the deal is.
I'm actually with you. I will always prefer a laptop, and that's why I actually don't own an iPad. I got one in my lab, but I don't own one.
My son is surfing the internet all day on one of these.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be blind as a bat.
One of these is the next Galaxy Nexus. No, I think that a lot of people now are using the phone. But that's why I like a 7-inch tablet. It's somewhere in between. It's a little bit bigger. I play chess on it. I can see the board.
Hello, Mom?
Yeah. You know, I've used Skype on it. Skype works pretty nicely on it.
Hello?
Oh, John. John.
Actually, this is the same size as the Galaxy Note, right?
It's about.
Almost. The Note is pretty darn big.
It won't fit in the shirt pocket, but it does fit in my pants pocket.
Yes. No, I do, too. I can sit on it.
Crack.
Nexus 7 tablet allocations have been running low or running out at brick-and-mortar stores. GameStop, Sam's Club, Staples, all reporting sellouts. This is a huge success. And I think everybody's taking a look at this.
I didn't
not
see
just
the
Amazon.
Line around the block like you have with an Apple product.
That's because this was sold everywhere. It was sold online. It was sold in Best Buy.
I don't know if that's the benchmark.
It is to me.
Successful sale.
Yeah.
What if you sell out without a line?
Well, you didn't make enough.
That's probably true. Apparently, that's what the problem is.
You don't have any hype, and so that's a downer.
Right.
Gotta have the hype.
Gotta have the hype.
But the real story on this one is the fact that people wanted the 16-gigabyte version. Google thought that the 16-gigabyte version would just be a few. But
what were they thinking?
Well, they were thinking that people would want to use SkyDrive.
Cloud.
They would want to use
Google Drive. Yeah. Cloud.
That's
I think that's true, because Google Music, you could leave your music on Google servers and then you don't have to stream.
There's not enough room to leave half my music on Google servers.
What do you mean not enough room? There's 25,000 songs. How much music do you have?
I have 3/4 of a terabyte or almost a terabyte.
That's nothing. John,
they don't have it on the cloud. They can't put a terabyte of music on the cloud.
Sure, it's 25,000 titles. They don't measure it by the size, by titles.
Oh, I think I've got 250,000 at least.
Titles?
Yeah.
Well, John, you might want to prune your collection a little bit.
The problem,
what the hell you got?
That's the problem.
You have every song ever made?
You can't. No, that goes into the hundreds of millions, yeah. of it, I think. Yeah. Whatever the case is, you can't prune stuff. For one thing, you get, it's like your photo collection. You say, well, should I just throw away this crappy song that I don't like in any way in any universe? Because what if somebody wants to hear this song?
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
That's it.
John, you need to get rid of all those cat videos.
I've got zero cat videos.
And he's got the Barney video.
And there's no videos. All my videos are on the Dvorak Uncensored. Check it out. It's on the YouTube, Dvorak Uncensored, and check out the Barney video. I have a new video I just posted of a woman playing the harp on in Berkeley
with
outside
toes.
Of her art car.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's very nice.
That sounds just like kind of an aesthetic experience, maybe something a little cultural.
It's
kind of a change for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want to be in the middle anymore.
Is there something I'm missing from that video? Is she naked?
No, but that's a good idea.
Christ. I'm sorry, Father. Let's take a break. We're going to move on just a little bit. Will, aren't you glad you're in Oxford at this point? And really, you've got some distance from all
well,
of this?
Well, I'm sharing the vino with you, so it's,
I like
not
that.
Looking much.
I like that.
Yeah.
Good man. Some changes at Google. And what's going on with Larry Page? Why has he still not got his voice back? I really want to know, John.
Yeah, this is going a little long, isn't it?
Going on here. I want to know. Meanwhile, let's talk about the new Squarespace. Version 6. It's here. They launched it July 18th. Completely updated set of code. 50-plus new or improved features. If you want to know more about it, go to new.squarespace.com. You know we've been talking about Squarespace for a long time. It's the best hosting and the best software for running your website, whether it's a blog, a photo gallery, your e-commerce site, whatever you're up to. But I want you to go to new.squarespace.com right now and take a look at Squarespace 6. Pricing is the same. Features are what's changed. And the offer code for TWIT is still TWIT7. I'll tell you what you get on all of that. Let's just watch the demo video here. I've been playing with it now for a few months, and it's just so impressive what they've done. Some of the best, I got to say, developers out there working, best designers, just making great templates. Every Squarespace site is unique, and I really like that. And secure, too, because you're running on their servers with their software. They keep it up to date for you. They keep it locked down. Look at this. This is when you upload an image. They make thumbnails at every possible size. So no matter, this is called responsive design. No matter what kind of device people come to your site on, mobile or big screen, it looks good. I just think they've done a great job. Squarespace.com. You can try Squarespace 6 right now. Absolutely free. Absolutely free. And all you have to do is go to squarespace.com, click the try it free button. You don't need to give them a credit card or anything. I invite you to try the template designs, the responsive design. Reorder images, drag them around. It's very fast, very snappy. They've got sharing in the social media accounts. They've got great ways, by the way, of updating your site from iPhone or iPad or Android. The new Squarespace, new content management system. Faster, easier than ever, 50 new features, and you can get 10% off. So try it free at squarespace.com. Click the try it free button. And then after you've played with it for a couple of weeks and you really get a sense of all that you can do with it, go on over and buy. And if you use the offer code TWIT, you'll save 10% off your first purchase, which is a good reason to make that a year-long package. Prices are as low as $16 when you buy a year, and they throw in the registration for you, and they do all the wireys and everything like that. Squarespace.com. The new Squarespace. We're not calling it Squarespace 6, by the way. It's called the new Squarespace, okay? Just want you to know. HTML5, CSS3, JavaScript, foundations, faster, better, beautifuler. Is that a word?
Yeah.
Squarespace.com.
Absolutely.
Is it?
No.
Works
more,
for me.
More beautifuler?
It's fine.
Even beautifuler?
It's radio or whatever.
It is radio.
I like that new is the new. Like, it's not iPad 3. It's the
yeah,
new
isn't
iPad.
That interesting? We don't do numbers it's anymore.
It's yeah, screw the numbers.
Squarespace.
That's a really good point.
I think it should be. How come they never went to A, B, and C? I think that'd be iPad B.
That's not nice. That's an engineer. That sounds like NASA.
iPad C.
Oh, no, no, no.
Switching to B.
So I love this email program for iPhone and Macintosh.
Sorry, just, my heart is broken after this week.
I love this app. It's,
what
it's,
is it?
It's called Sparrow, and it's very
Does it run on Android?
Well, no, and I'll tell you. Well, no, there's good news. Google just bought them.
Well, then I'm assuming it will.
And it's absolutely going to revitalize Google's Gmail. It's really designed for Gmail. Sparrow is, I think, $10 on the desktop, and then it's a few bucks. I can't remember on iOS.
It's like $5.
Yeah. So $15. That's what I bought every version you could get.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I love it. It really is better. It's on the iPhone, on the
desktop.
What
does it do that's so special?
It's what? It, Will, you help me with this. It's fast. Oh, it's clean.
So,
it's easy.
So on the desktop, the search is so much faster than normal Apple Mail search. Like when you're trying to get to people, it makes it a lot quicker to sift through your messages.
So,
and on the iPhone, it's so much easier to navigate multiple accounts. It also has this amazing left-right swipe view, which the standard Apple Mail on the iPhone doesn't have, where you can scroll up and down to go through your inbox, but then you can swipe left and right to get your priority inbox or just your unread messages. The UI is even, you know, Apple makes some nice user interfaces, but this is even nicer.
So here's the thing that's pissing me off. Google bought
them. What, are you yawning on the show? Are we boring you?
Yeah. Here's the thing.
More wine.
Here's the thing that's pissing me off. Google bought them, and they're closing it down. They said no more updates.
What?
We're done. We're excited to announce Sparrow has been acquired by Google. Now, they're still selling it, but they say no more updates. And basically, this is what, you know, we call now an acquire. They're hiring.
So, wait a minute. You're telling me they just bought them to close them down? This is a conflict. This is against the antitrust. That's what you're not supposed to do. You buy a competition, and then you shut them down because they're
competition. I don't think it's because it's competition. I think they wanted the team, and this is what they did with Milk. This is what they do time and time again. Mm. But I think what's happened, you know, Facebook does this all the time. Dropio was put out of business because they got Sam Lessin, who created it. But they said, no, but you're going to do timelines, so we don't need this startup.
You know, I always wonder about this. Don't you think?
I'm mad.
Or consider this possibility. You've got a company, whatever it is, let's say XYZ, and you want the team. So there's a team of maybe three or four key guys, right? And so you buy the company for $100 million,
exactly,
and the money
gets.
Why don't you just give the guys $50 million each or $20 million each?
And come on over.
And leave the company there. Leave the company alone.
Because they want these guys working at Google doing Gmail. They want Gmail.
Well, you saw a $20 million signing bonus and a long-term deal. I think
you can't leave
John, in most cases, if they're moving to something that would be like a similar field, the reason you wouldn't do it is because if they were key people, they'd have non-compete clauses in their contracts.
Not if they were the guys that were running the place and wrote the contracts.
Yeah, you can't non-compete with yourself.
I'm the CEO. I'm going to write a contract that's going to be amenable to me. There's not going to be a non-compete in there.
You've already been funded by a VC, John.
That's where you. There's where you got a problem.
So there's part of their funding.
Okay,
there's been a lot of back and forth on the internet.
It just seems weird to me.
Some people say, "Get over it." That's what happens. A company does well. They sell a product. They get sold. They make some money. What's wrong? That's get over it. And then there are those who say, like this, you shall know Google by its trail of dead, a Sparrow user's lament.
Trail of dead.
Trail of dead.
Now, see, this could be seen as anti-competitive, except for one thing, and that is Google can honestly say, no, we wanted the Sparrow team because the Google email client sucks.
I think they're right.
It sucks. It's horrible. It's hard to
set
up. It's
so much more elegant.
So they actually have a reason for buying an email company.
Well, and I think Sparrow intended this because, it first only worked with Gmail. It uses all the Gmail keystrokes. So if you're used to Gmail, you just use this client and it's very familiar. I think they intended this. But I just feel like it's kind of a bait and switch. You know, they got me to give them 15. It's only 15 bucks. But
15 bucks here, 15 bucks there.
Thank you, John.
I think it sucks that even though, you know, it's not
ask
like they couldn't have got like a second team, right, to continue on. It's like you're buying the Sparrow A-grade team. They're going into Gmail.
Right.
But, hey, hire another couple of people to at least push out some feature updates, right? Because as good as it is, Sparrow needs some feature updates.
I agree. That is and they've been very good. That's one of the things I liked about Sparrow is they've been making it better and better and doing lots of updates. Not anymore. Anyway, I just want to raise the issue. I'm not happy.
Yeah, I'm pretty gutted.
You are too. You're a Sparrow lover.
I am a Sparrow lover. I'm loving Sparrows all day. And I'm pretty gutsy.
We're getting into a really
weird place. That's so too.
I'm more of a starling fan, but I love sparrows too.
Starlings are
cool. So I love this whole thing that then happened, which was a guy claimed that he was writing Sparrow for Windows. He put up on his blog post, we were this close, 5 days away for Sparrows or weeks away from Sparrow for Windows. And good for The Verge, Ellis Hamburger, who calls Sparrow and says, hey, this Panos guy, was he writing for you? CEO Sparrow says, no, he was never hired, never officially associated with our brand. Sparrow for Windows didn't use our mail engine. It was just a prototype, and we never agreed to do it.
Well, good. Then he can continue on with his development work.
Maybe.
There you go.
Panos said, we shook hands and said we were going to meet again in June or July for the final details. So he had to put up a blog post. But I think this is good reporting on the part of The Verge, who said, you know what, we checked. This was never an official Sparrow client, not even close to weeks away. The guy's just blowing smoke. Okay, what is wrong with Larry Page? I think you probably have some speculation, John C. DeBlair.
No, I don't.
He does not speak. He was not at Google I.O. They said, apologies, he's not going to be at Google I.O. He's lost his voice. He still has lost his voice. Weeks later, he still cannot speak.
I don't know what the deal is. I have no idea, and I don't want to speculate on it because it's, you know, none of the speculation would be positive.
He's skipped the earnings call as well. He's still running the company. A senior vice president, chief business officer at Google, Nikesh Arora, said Larry has lost his voice but continues to run the company.
How does that work? Well, I guess he's not yelling at people.
He can write notes.
I guess he uses Gmail, right?
It's actually a PR stunt.
Somebody said he's quietly running the company.
They're about to release Google Voice.
I kind of feel for the guy. I mean, he's... You've heard of Google Glass? Now try Google Voice.
Unfortunately, there is Google Voice.
I know. He's going to come up with
his own joke
company.
Doesn't quite work.
Well, I hope Larry's okay. And in fact, he's really been on a roll. He's really been doing, I think, good things with the company, like buying Sparrow. And I do hope he's okay. I mean, you're right.
Left speechless after Marissa left.
That's a chat room, probably.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I mean, he's just gone completely off the radar. He didn't attend Google I.O.
Didn't even attend. It wasn't like he was silently sitting in the audience.
Didn't even sit on the front row and just watch.
Right.
Hasn't done any earnings calls. Hasn't done any PR appearances. He's just completely gone off the radar. It's kind of weird.
Hope he's okay. I think he's been a good CEO, actually. I think he's done a really good job refining and
I don't know. I don't see
focusing.
He's
killed like 20, you know, things.
He also killed the labs, which I don't like. I didn't appreciate that.
But they said that we're going to take the labs and, you know, spread it out.
Yeah, well, that'd be okay.
Still will innovate, but just in individual divisions.
You know, there's an obvious comparison you got to make, and that is comparing his illness or whatever it is.
Steve Jobs.
I mean, when the rumors were spreading about Steve Jobs, Apple stock went up and down depending on what illness he had that particular week.
That's right.
I think this is actually, it shows how well he's done as CEO that he's made the company stable enough that even if there's a potential for him to step away,
I like that.
The stock's not tanking.
I like that.
Well, the stock's not going to tank until the earnings get screwed up. And, you know, the company ran fine under Schmidt and would run fine under Schmidt again. So, I mean, you don't like Schmidt?
I like Schmidt, but I think
that's the difference, though, isn't it? Like, Steve Jobs was sort of widely considered the only person that could run Google, could run Apple.
Right.
And if he was gone, you know, they were screwed.
That's a good point.
As you say, Schmidt ran Google perfectly well for many years.
I mean, I have to say the stock price has been very strong under Larry Page. It's gone up and up and up. It's at $610 now. Let's look at the 1 year graph. Yeah, you know what? It's been higher.
It's been fluctuating within a range about 550 and
for a while.
620, for some reason it can't seem to break out.
So it's not gone up a considerable amount under Mr. Page. All right, I want to talk a little bit about Microsoft Office because I think a big announcement. And I'm sure you have some things to say about that, Robert. Robert Ballister is here, the host of This Week in Enterprise Tech, which makes its second episode tomorrow.
Tomorrow at noon.
Noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 1900 UTC.
This Week in Enterprise $20,000 routers.
Yeah, baby. What are you going to talk about this week?
This week, we're actually going to be talking about cloud services. So it's we're just really going to be talking about Microsoft and about several other companies that are offering Internet as a service. We're also going to be bringing in a new segment. We've got six segments that will rotate.
I like
the show.
The crap your IT guy says.
Right, exactly.
That's a good one.
That's sort of networking 101. We're going to take all the basic topics, right. Break it down for people. So IT people who should know it get a refresher course,
yep.
And geeks who want to learn enterprise get to figure it out.
It was complicated. You were talking about switches versus hubs. Yeah. That was great. I loved that.
We got a lot of really good feedback from some of the fans who some were complaining that I simplified it a bit too much, and I totally get that, but there were others who were saying I got lost after you said hub.
So, yeah. There's a balance there somewhere.
Huh? What?
You know, we've got the two new shows we've launched have been pretty technical. Is Know How, where we showed you last week how to change the firmware on your router to an open source firmware. We showed you how to root jailbreak. We showed you how to roll your own cloud. So, and that show's doing very well, and this show's doing very well. And I have a feeling this is what people want. They want us to do, you know, technical stuff, get geeky. So we're going to oblige. Let's check in with Tom Merritt, actually. Speaking of...
Is he back there today?
Yeah. Let's see what's going on. What's in the week ahead, Tom?
Hey, thanks, Leo. Here's a look at some of the stories we'll be talking about in the week ahead on Tech News Today. Going on now through July 24th, of course, the Black Hat Conference in Las Vegas. DEF CON starts on July 26th. Monday, July 23rd, the Google Science Fair finalists will be announced. Also on that day, earnings reports from Amazon and Zynga. Tuesday, July 24th, Star Trek The Next Generation Season 1 comes out on Blu-ray, and we get earnings reports from Apple and Netflix. July 26th, earnings from Facebook. It's earnings week. And Saturday, July 28th, the larger size Nintendo 3DS comes to Japan. All that more coming up on Tech News Today this week. Back to you, Leo.
This is a big week, Tuesday is the one-year anniversary of moving into this building.
That's what you keep saying.
Yeah, we're going to have a cake. You want to come?
What day?
Tuesday.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, I'll definitely be here.
Dick Bartolo will be here. We're going to do a live Giz Whiz. We're going to have a band. What's it called? Ready, Set, Go?
Get Set, Go.
Get Set, Go.
Get Set, Go.
Get Set, Go will be here.
Where's the band going to play?
Right here. Getting rid of the table. On the table?
Yeah, no, we're striking the table, moving it away.
It's only two of them. It's not a huge band.
No, it's five-piece band.
There's just two guys?
Oh, there's five people?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't even know this band. I thought it was this guy and the girl.
That's true, but...
They've got some more.
Yeah.
They're excited, John. Five-piece band. You and I will do the dance. We'll do the first dance.
You know, I'm looking at this. I can't seem to get my name back onto the chat room. I keep getting bounced off and bounced off.
Now there's
a zombie Dvorak on here, which is my old one. And
I got friends. Dan, if you'd kill the zombie Dvorak, and what name do you want to have? John C. Dvorak?
That's what it is. It looks like they killed the zombie.
Apparently you got banned.
That's the title. The title.
Did you get banned?
Zombie Dvorak.
Kill the zombie Dvorak. Business. All right.
That could be a TV show.
The whole model here is the chat room. Seems to be part and parcel of the entire experience
of
Twit.
We're trying to make it a two-way street. We're trying to break down the fourth wall and just let everybody in. And the more people are in, then the more dancing.
There's not that many people.
How many people are in the chat room? A couple of thousand. Right?
Yeah, that's chicken feed.
Plus all the people on Twitter. Plus all the people commenting on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's all about being social. It's about making TV social. Multi-way engagement.
Thank you. By the way, one more plug for this poll. I just want to win this one.
Something you want us to do for you?
Yeah.
Oh.
I want you to vote for me. Go to Facebook. Are you a member of Facebook?
No, I don't use that.
Okay, well, you can't
crap
do it
like
then.
That.
Facebook.com/TwitNetwork. And right at the top there, the iTunes folks have put together a poll. What technology podcast would you like to see featured on iTunes the first week in August? You have till tomorrow or Tuesday to vote. And nothing wrong with the other shows. They're all great shows, but I like to win. So go cast.
What other shows are there listed?
Should I say the names or would that be?
No, you should say the names.
Because then people will hear this and then go vote for
them. No, they won't.
They might.
No.
Callie Lewis, Geek Beat TV.
Nah, you're better than that.
Back to Work, that's the Merlin Mann show.
Never heard of it.
5x5 Network, yeah.
5x5, no good.
Tech Stuff. I don't know who
I
does
never
that.
Heard of this.
Is that your
shows.
Show?
No.
Okay.
No.
That your Tech Stop.
Tech Stop.
Okay. That's a difference.
Okay.
The Verge Cast.
No, but when are they on? Is that a daily show? Or what
no,
is
they're
it?
Weekly. They're weekly. Just like us.
Never heard of it.
And Other.
Other?
Yeah.
I never heard of that one.
That's the best one. You vote for Other.
Sometimes Other's really
See,
good.
You're nobody's voting for these.
Other's inconsistent.
This is like a no-brainer for you to win.
There's I know, but I don't like to lose.
No Agenda's not a tech show.
Aha. Thank you, John C. Dvorak, for saving
he
me.
He said it.
He's not a tech show, so
and
do not
And we avoid talking
it
tech. It's like...
You don't like to talk tech.
We don't want the bros.
Yeah, I agree with you. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Kevin Rose is going to be on the show, by the way. We asked him today because I thought it'd be a good time for him to talk. Do you know what date Chad's, Kevin's going to be on?
Yeah, Kevin's going to be on the 12th of August.
August 12th. All right. Oh, see? Now this guy's voting for Vergecast.
Oh.
You know why? Because it looks like the Tonight Show. You know, it's got a, they've got a table with a mic and a couch.
I'll have to check it out.
See, this is why I didn't want to mention it.
No,
names.
I'm going to check it out, but I can't imagine. You are this the godfather of this tech shows.
This is
so anyone who would vote for the Vergecast is probably insane.
Is it Vergecast rocks?
Now they're just doing that just to harass you.
Oh, don't. That's on the Verge. Vergecast is different from the Verge on the Verge. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know.
No, it's just making your life miserable. This is the chat room again.
Vergecast is better than Twit.
This is the chat room.
You know what? This is going to
backfire.
You're going to you caused a. This is now if they're going to win.
They're not going to win anything.
They're going to win. Oh, man.
This is what the Vergecast looks like.
I like it. It's got
now
TV
Now we're showing
sets.
The Vergecast?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're showing this is,
we this are going
the,
way down the rabbit hole.
It looks like an old black and white show.
That's just their
Vergecast. Live from New York City, Vergecast. This, what the guy looks like Russian TV. No, that's no good.
She died.
Totally sucks.
I'm going to vote for Vergecast. That looks pretty good.
Well, I want to see. I just want to see Leo do his Russian voice over the top of Josh.
I will. Kowalski. I will do. I will do that. We actually asked Josh. Well, we can't ask Josh directly anymore. We asked Josh's people.
Oh, he's above it now. Today. Yeah, no, you must talk to my people.
Did you get a response from Josh's people?
Yeah, he actually emailed me.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So.
Oh, good. So we'll get him on.
Sounds good.
I like Josh. He's an interesting fella, smart guy. Editor-in-chief of The Verge, which we just told you is doing some good work.
You know what? Now I can't even get on this chat room and
Office,
stay in. I'm done. I'm
Office
done, boys.
Office 365. So this is, I tell you, the most interesting, or not 365, Office 2013. This is the next version of Microsoft Office. Will come out later. We don't know how much it's going to be. It will be a subscription, right, Robert?
Mm-hmm.
It's a monthly subscription. It is not. You don't buy the software outright, but what you get for the subscription is you can put it on five different computers. It installs, this is interesting, at least installs enough for you to run it in 90 seconds. So that means
that's
I can come to an office or a library, and I could sit down, log into my live account, say, yeah, put it on here. I'm going to use Word for a while. And then when I leave, take it off, right?
Right, right.
And here's the interesting thing. By default...
Now, so you're going to be like a vagabond.
Yeah, I'm going to live in the library. As soon as The Verge wins this poll, I'm out of here. That's it. It's over for me. This is my whole... I'm staking my whole career, my future, my reputation on that vote.
What they were going for is it's a Google Docs feel.
But with all the features
with
of
all the features,
Office.
Right. Because what they realized is they couldn't have people wait there for 20 minutes...
Right.
Well,
although
downloaded.
If you install the whole thing, it still is, you know,
right.
5, 6, 10, 20 minutes, depending on your speed.
Right, right.
Once it's installed, it boots pretty quickly.
Yeah, but that's the point is that they want to kind of give you the impression that in 90 seconds, you'll be
90
using
seconds
Word.
Is a long time. I think my regular Word boots in less time than that.
That's
a long,
the first time
long time.
You install it,
they have a video that makes time go faster. It feels
The other thing I thought was really telling is that by default, it saves not to your hard drive, but to the cloud, to the SkyDrive.
That stinks.
Yeah, that's crazy.
If you lose the cloud.
I think it's great.
Why is it great? What if you're in your airport? What you're on a 747?
Oh, it automatically has offline
right.
access?
It's SkyDrive. So SkyDrive saves a copy locally and copies it up to the cloud. So you always have that local. You will always have access to your documents. You can see this as it's a long-term thread for Microsoft. What they would love to be able to do is rather than selling you software, they want to sell you a desktop.
We've heard this before.
But they're getting much closer. I mean, now that we've
especially
more or less
selling
services.
Windows 8 for $40, Microsoft's really changing its tune. They're not trying to gouge you on software. We don't know what the cost will be. So if it's $5 a month, this is awesome. If it's $25 a month, not so hot. How about Enterprise, Robert? Is this going to be something that business will like?
It won't be $5 a month, let me say right now.
I'm predicting $7.99. I think it's going to be the Hulu Netflix.
$10.
Yeah, it might be 10. Enterprise, 10's the high level. It can't be higher than 10.
Enterprise will not do this.
Oh, interesting.
Not immediately. You could see Enterprise moving to it in, say, Office 2015, because the Enterprise is still very distrustful of public cloud. Enterprise likes
as
private
is John
cloud,
C. Dvorak.
As is John C. Dvorak. And for that very reason, if you lose your connectivity, which happens, you lose productivity.
Right.
You can't do anything.
Right.
Even with the local cached version of the files, you're going
to
have
to... Well, you can work on that, right? And then when you get back online, it'll update it, right?
But try explaining that to an office building of 10,000 people.
Right.
But Robert, isn't it possible that what will happen is that the sort of server part of it, Microsoft will make some kind of semi-local SkyDrive that integrates with your Exchange server, so that if you're a business running Exchange, you can run a sort of Office services platform as well that will then serve the 10,000 people.
Run your own cloud.
That's what actually Enterprise is waiting for. We're waiting for the Enterprise version of SkyDrive. So give me my private server, my data center.
I think they've started to do that with Azure. I think they're moving in that direction to give you all of – basically, you can run your own version of Azure on your own servers. So you have some control of your uptime.
Right. It gives you failover. So if you're running your own local server, you lose your externals, it switches over, people don't even notice.
But Microsoft is really running a chance, because I know...
If you're sitting on a 10 gigabit connection in the office and you're going to the server, you're not going to notice anything. You might as well... It's probably going to be faster than most machines.
Right.
But the cloud goes over the internet, and the internet slows down and disappears and comes back and has all these issues, and it's never fast. I would just say, anyway, get a PayPal account and load it up with a bunch of stuff, and then every once in a while just go to it.
PayPal is really slow.
It is beyond slow.
Yeah, painfully slow.
Which is why we've got a professional coming on to This Week in Enterprise Tech who's going to explain to us how Microsoft policy controls will allow all that stuff to happen in the background.
I think it's doable. I think
it's very doable.
It's an implementation question. But I do think that Microsoft is taking a big chance with business. Already Windows 8 is something business is looking askance at because of all the new training. And now you've got, we got this new office and it's very cloud-centric. Isn't Microsoft taking a big chance? I mean, most of their revenue comes from business. They're taking a big chance with business.
They have two cash cows.
Office and Windows.
And why are they screwing with them?
Right. Because they want to be in the future. They don't want to be left behind. And, you know.
By who? Well, what's the threat?
Google.
What's the threat
to Google Docs. I don't know what the numbers are, but maybe you do, Robert. I mean, aren't they losing business to Google Docs at this point?
Not so much Google Docs as BYOD. So
bring
your own device phenomenon is that scares Microsoft, because they used to own the server and the client.
And they're looking at what happened to RIM.
Right. And so they're saying, we could sit on this cash cow and milk it, or we can start adjusting. Now, they may make a horrible miscalculation, but at least from the enterprise side, it looks like they're making the right moves.
Well, and also in terms of the BYOD, if Microsoft moves to a services kind of model rather than a software or a sort of ownership of a platform model, that makes it a lot easier to integrate with people that do want to bring your own devices. Because in the scenario where want to use Microsoft Office 2013, you can just
Here's your cloud.
Load it up and you get it in 90 seconds, right? But that could all be controlled by a central server.
See, real-time telecommunications like Skype is more demanding on the cloud than something that's a little bit more intermittent, like a word processing document. We're not doing real-time streaming of the word processing.
All I know is that PayPal is unbelievably slow.
All right, I want to talk a little bit about Microsoft's quarterly results. First time ever as a public company, they lost money, $192 million. Is that a sign of problems at Microsoft? Or we'll talk. Hold that thought, John C. Dvorak, because before we do that, I want to talk about another troubled institution, the United States Postal Service.
Another bogus story. It's a scam. It's a total scam.
What?
They're making money.
Are they?
They're being rousted out of business by the forces behind FedEx and the United Parcel guys to screw the American public.
Yeah, because
complete scam.
Well, then that's why you should get Stamps.com, because you want to keep the Postal Service alive.
Exactly.
And if you get Stamps.com, thank you, John, for that setup. If you get Stamps.com, you actually put the – they're all leaving. If you get they all left me. If you get stamps.com, you're actually putting the Postal Service at your desk. And this is what I love about stamps.com. It allows you to print postage with your computer and your printer. You never have to go to the post office again. You never have to go to the post office to buy postage. You never have to go to the post office to get them to mail a package for you. You don't have to go to buy international money orders. You could do everything that you do at a post office. You could do at your desk with stamps.com. I'll give you an example. International postage. If I want to send something to Will, you probably send stuff to the States all the time. It's a pain. You got to go to the, what do you guys call it? The jolly old post office? What do you call that?
It's certainly not the jolly old post office. The absolutely miserable PITA post office is more like it.
Oh, you have one too, huh?
Yeah, right.
So you go there and you got to fill out forms.
Can't they make a stamps.co.uk?
Yeah, they should. You know, it's funny. We've been doing this ad for some time now because I've been 10 years I've been using stamps.com. And one of the most common responses is from people in the UK saying, why do we not have something like this? We really need something like this. If you're going to do international mailing, it actually fills out the forms for you. If you're an Amazon or eBay seller, this makes fulfillment so easy. It actually takes the information about the person you're shipping to from the web page and prints out the mailing label, prints out the postage. You get a USB scale, so you're always paying exactly the right amount. You don't have to put extra postage on to make sure it gets delivered. It really is efficient, and you even get discounts you cannot get at the post office. Up to 21% on express mail, up to 15% on priority mail. You're going to save money. You're going to love your life. It's so much easier, and it prints right on the envelope if you want so that you have this, you know, very professional look. Give it a try. Stamps.com. Here's the deal. If you go to stamps.com right now, click the radio microphone, that silver microphone on there, and use the offer code TWIT. The normally $80 bonus offer is going to be $110 value. They'll increase the number of postage coupons they give you. $55 in free postage for you to use over, yeah, I think it's a few months at stamps.com. You get a free digital scale. You only pay the shipping and handling. You get a $5 supply kit and a 4-week trial of stamps.com. This is a great offer that you must try. I used it for years for myself, and now we have two different accounts here at the Brick House. It's so useful. You don't have to go to the post office to mail the stuff. They'll come and get it.
What do you need two accounts for?
You really want to know? No, they were fighting over this USB scale.
Oh.
I want the scale. Give me the scale. It was just going to be a pain, so we just got another account. Stamps.com is worth it. It really is. Is this a big deal or not? Microsoft, first ever loss, $192 million. That sounds like a big deal. Are you getting a cold? Is that why you're even
emergency? No, I just thought it's all back there, so I said, you know, it never hurts to have. Wow, look at it, steams up.
Oh, it's emergency, baby. That's good. That's 1,000 milligrams of citric acid. It goes right in your blood veins.
Actually nothing. No, of course not. They took a $6.5 billion loss, which means they would have made that money. And so the loss is so minor. It's that not one person in the investment community thinks this is even remotely important.
It's not a story.
Not even a story.
Yeah. I think it's kind of a story that they took a $6.2 billion write-down on a Quantive.
Yeah, well, that was a dumb thing to do in the first place, apparently.
But I think you're right. In fact, I think really that what we got to look at is what is the quarterly earnings next quarter, and most importantly, the following quarter when Windows 8 and Office 2013 will be. I think it will go up. Yeah.
Of course it will go up.
The story here is that we finally have the answer for why did they take the loss now? We were talking about that a while back.
Yeah, why did they?
Because they had an otherwise stellar quarter, which means that the loss actually doesn't look that bad.
It didn't look as bad as it could have.
Right, it could have looked like several billion.
Right, right.
Well, it also allows them, if they've had a massively stellar quarter, to not pay a chunk of tax on that quarter.
Right. That's what you're doing. You're taking a write-down. It's funny because the Brit knows more about the U.S. tax law than we do. You're taking the write-down on this loss to offset income, and so you don't have to pay taxes. They're also deferring
But what they're actually doing in terms of the write-down, they're not losing actual money, right? It's
right.
A write-down on a balance sheet. And so what you're doing is offsetting notional balance sheet value, which is actually mostly goodwill, using that to offset your income. Which is real money, and so you probably just made a ton of real money.
Oh, so it's a profit deal.
It's a scam.
Microsoft had a 4% growth in quarter four revenue year to year. In fact, if you adjust for the goodwill charge and deferrals, 7% year-to-year growth. This is not bad. And, of course, the big year is still to come with Office 2013 and Windows 8.
So can I get a regular copy of Office 2013? Just
yes.
Just a shrink wrap.
You can still get a disc. You can still get that, right?
If you really want it, you still can.
And Mac, this was really interesting. That wasn't clear, but this is what Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley told me on Windows Weekly, that they're going to bundle a copy of the most recent Mac Office. Mac Office is still not up to 2013, but this is hardware independent. It's Mac or PC. In fact, now we're still waiting to hear. It looks like they'll have tablet versions. I mean, that's the rumor for iPad.
Ooh, that's what I want.
Well, you would, because now...
Yeah, because I can type away on these tablets. It's so efficient.
Your
it's
stuff
fantastic.
Is there all the time. I don't know about you, but I frequently use a tablet to access Google Docs, things like that.
Mm-hmm, sure.
If they make a...
I don't buy it, by the way.
...365, that would be amazing, because Mac Office suffers from just awful neglect.
I agree. It's you know, it's a separate
you
development.
You try to use it on a Retina, on the Retina MacBook Pro?
Yeah.
It's unused.
Oh, that's interesting. I haven't tried that yet.
Did you say unusable? Because you broke up.
He either said unusual or unusable.
You said unusable?
Both. It's totally unusable because the aliasing on the fonts because of the display just makes it look like you're reading through like cling film on screen. It's really
terrible.
Oh,
that's interesting. I'll have to take a look at that. I haven't tried that.
That's not good.
Have you run Windows on your Retina?
I didn't. I don't have one. I was just using it in the Apple store because I was going to see if I was going to get it. And the first thing I did was load up Word and PowerPoint and Excel, which are the three things I spent my life doing. And they all looked like complete crud. They were awful. And so
That's
I just had to say, well, I love it, but no thanks.
They got to update this.
I think
this.
They would do something about that problem.
Yeah.
It's not insurmountable.
No, it's easy to solve, I think.
I would. It's done all the time.
Yeah. Business division grew revenue 7% this quarter to $6.291 billion. That's in 3 months. Now, it spent some of that money on Yammer, that $1.2 billion purchase finalized on Thursday. I do wonder about some of these acquisitions.
It's ludicrous, some of them.
Yeah.
There's a really good wiki page on this.
Things Microsoft bought?
Yeah, it's got everything. And it's like, wow, what? A lot of these you go... You never heard of them. Right. They just get, or they bought something and they put it in the play, like the whatever our first forethought or whatever it would became PowerPoint.
Right.
And then they just let it languish. They really don't do much with
it.
But
all these companies do that. I mean, Apple's done that.
Adobe does it.
Facebook does
Adobe does not do it. They crank these new versions out like there's no tomorrow.
They don't buy new stuff.
No, they're always updating. They're it's like there's somebody's chasing them.
Right.
Nobody's chasing them.
There is something interesting here, and they integrated Yammer into Office in record time. I don't think I've ever seen Microsoft move that quickly to take a newly acquired company and bump
into
their services.
Because they already had Link in there, which is an IM client, and all they did to do was kind of rebrand Link.
Both Link and Skype fit into their unified communications model.
Right.
I don't get why Microsoft couldn't do a make-buy decision and
they
make.
Already made it. That's what's weird. Same thing with Skype. They already have video conferencing.
Well, they may have just been wanting to buy these clients. There
must be what it is,
2,000 user corporations.
Well, I mean, Leo knows the answer to this. He knows why Microsoft makes all these decisions.
Why?
The answer is because
they're terrified.
Worst managed company. And yes,
I still stand by that. I said that last week.
Yeah, you did. I heard that.
It's funny. As soon as the quarterly earnings came out, all these people tweeted, see, Leo was right. And I actually wanted to tweet, no, that's not what that means.
You won't be right for a while. It's going to take a couple
years. It's going to take a while. Inertia goes on a long way. Speaking of inertia, you must have an opinion on this, Will. Rupert Murdoch steps down from the NI boards. He's resigned as a director of The Sun, The Times, The Sunday Times, The Times Newspaper Holdings, News Corp's Investments in the U.K., he is loosening finger by finger as he resigns a string of directorships. Is that his age? Or
how old is
did he
nowadays?
Think he was on Twitter and just unfriending people?
So I don't have any information on this whatsoever, apart from what you read in the papers, which is sort of suggests that...
He's 81.
The structure of the – because News Corp has decided it's going to split, right? So it's going to split.
And isn't this because of the – isn't this because of the scandal over wiretapping?
So I think it's the decision to split the company is being made because of the negative press over the phone hacking.
Right.
Because what's sort of happening is that the papers and the media, which are sort of I think up less than 5% of News Corp's business, have sort of massively had a really bad sort of PR image effect on the other 95% of the company. So it sort of makes no sense to cause problems for 95% because of the 5%, right? So I think what we're seeing is just the it's just that playing out now. They're going to split the company up, and I think that's why they're changing the corporate structure of the two.
The Telegraph says it perfectly in their headline. News Corporation split would help draw the poison. And they're talking specifically about kind of trying to save the television assets by dumping the print assets. Who wants to be in print anymore anyway? So I don't think, I think it looks like even though he's 81, Rupert Murdoch is not really divesting himself of this stuff. He just, this is prior to a split. Still interesting.
I think Murdoch was quoted as saying, you know, he'd be removed from the board of News Corporation, you know, when he died.
So, or later, depending on.
Or not.
Yeah, he might stay. He could stay there.
Yeah. He did something a little bit strange.
Reel him in.
Somebody told me he tweeted in favor of gun control recently.
Does anybody really believe he's tweeting anything?
Oh, yeah. It's so crazy, of course. I think this is clearly Rupert Murdoch. Tweeting.
Yeah.
Rupert Murdoch. Nothing like brilliant women promoting their brilliance. Several here in Idaho.
Oh, yeah. That's what he's going to tweet.
Nope. You're not going to. Yes. You're not going to hire a corporate social media expert and say, hey, tweet this.
No, they're going to just tweet what they want to tweet. He's not going to tell them to tweet anything.
They're not going to tweet that.
They might.
Why would they tweet that?
You put it back up on the screen. What was that tweet?
Nothing like brilliant women promoting their brilliance. Several here in Idaho. That is definitely Rupert Murdoch.
No, it's not.
That's a cornball weird thing to say. No social media expert's going to say that.
He doesn't even know what. I'm not buying it.
John, I can tell you categorically it's him.
It's him.
Categorically?
Will was there when he wrote it.
Okay. Well, that's pretty pathetic then, if it's
true. How about
true.
This one? London, half-baked Lords reform, an MP revolt next week. Government preoccupation with meaningless stuff.
You're convincing me a little more with that voice.
The voice does it, right? Romney people upset at me. Of course I want him to win. Save us from socialism, etc. But he should listen to good advice.
No, Leo need the Australian.
This is like crap my dad says or something. It's terrible.
It is crap my dad says.
There you go.
Now you've got the voice. Go with it. Australian and old.
I'm trying to find. I don't see any pro gun control tweets. And I, you know, there's no tech in this story, but a very sad story out of Aurora, Colorado, and our deepest sympathy to everybody in that horrible situation. You know, it's funny. I live across from the movie theater, and there was a line of very excited people that night in Petaluma, ready to go see Batman Rises. And
what theater is this?
Just over here.
You live across the street from this little theater.
Yeah,
over
here? It's great. I love it. And you know,
you walked to this place.
Yeah. And it's just so, it was so cute. I mean, there was just, people had been camping there all day, and they were all lined up. They had their Batman shirts for the midnight show. And it really hit home. I was thinking, yeah, that could have been them. I mean, I just must have been the same kind of feeling in Aurora before that happened. Just terrible tragedy. Privacy again. 15-year-old kid just hacked Bank of America.
Is this Murdoch again you're reading?
Idle curiosity, FBI visited, kids suspended from school for 7 days.
This is just dumb. It's like some kid is doing this tweeting.
Here it is. Okay, smarties, I'm off to Apple Store for instructions. That's his tweet.
This is not possible.
That's why I'm saying this is not a social media wizard writing this stuff.
Well, we know that, right? I mean, he's old media.
It's him.
He's the old media empire.
Old media.
Why should Germans have to pay Greeks for laziness and cheating?
Diplomatic.
I think he's just got a computer that's just wide open, and anybody who walks by it tweets something.
It's literally my favorite Twitter feed. I wish he would tweet more.
It's the dumbest feed ever.
It's so dumb. And he goes through spurts. Like, I think it's exactly right. Like, he's working, and then he's got a few hours, nothing to do. So he sends out 8 tweets all at once. It's really funny.
All right, I'll start to follow him.
Oh, yeah, you got to follow.
It's a little being Rupert Murdoch.
It's totally.
They could make it into a Fox show. It's like Bleep My Media become a Mogul book. Says.
Bleep My Media Mogul Says. I like it. Does Dell want to be in the PC business? Apparently not. This was kind of a shocker. Did you read that?
It wasn't a shocker to me.
You're not surprised.
I've talked to Michael over the last year, and he says he's been trying to convince people that this is the direction they want to go, and no one's listening. And this has been a while that they've been out of the PC business.
Michael Dell said during a conference sponsored by Fortune, the new Dell really isn't in the PC business anymore.
He's been saying this for some time.
As recently as 2011, the company was the number 2 PC maker right behind HP. Then Lenovo beat it. Then Acer beat it.
Well, they still make PCs, and they're going to continue to make PCs. He believes that because it's semi-services company modeled after IBM and HP, he has to have – he thought it was HP.
You got to sell computers.
Because you sell the whole package, and the idea of having somebody else sell the PCs.
That makes sense.
Then that means their salesman's in the door, and the next thing you know, they're screwing
you. He says
you.
We want to do end-to-end IT solutions. That means from the PC to services to support the whole thing. So does that mean as an end user, as a home user, I should not look to Dell for a computer anymore?
No, you should look to Dell. I think it's probably better because you're going to get – the way it's going to work, the way it seems to me, you're going to get a better deal because they don't give a crap about their margins.
Right.
Because they're going to just be dumping –
all the money's made in service.
Yeah. And so you'll probably get – again, if you look at the Dell and the HP is the same way. You go to their stores and you look at what you get for your money, because I build machines. I can't even come close to building a machine that's powerful for like $900.
It's amazing. The margins are
zero.
Zero.
Or minus.
Yeah.
But that's why I have to ask, has Dell ever really been in the PC business? I mean, their model was based on the fact that they pay their suppliers net 90. They get paid up front, and then Dell Financial has all this money to invest to earn interest off of. So they can sell things at major at margin, razor thin.
So you mean the profit is in the VIG,
basically?
Well, actually, I remember back it was in the 90s. They said that Dell was making all their money off of the $40 they got for putting the AOL disc on the.
that I believe. I had a caller call me today say, I have an iPad and AOL mail and it stopped working. What should I do? It's like, I don't know and I don't care. Goodbye. Thank you. Click. What? I don't know.
You didn't hang up.
I was as nice as could be, but I can't. I mean.
Yeah, what do you do?
What do you do?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry that stopped working. Maybe you should call Steve Case. Maybe he can help you. I don't know.
Yeah, he's at a cocktail party as we speak.
Did you miss anything on Twit this week? Did you watch all the shows?
What shows?
On Twit, the Twit Network. Did you watch? We have how many? 25 shows, Jed?
Yeah, I think I missed one.
Oh, watch. This is what you missed.
Hey, this is Gupple and Burnett, and you're watching Twit. Hey, Burnett, can you believe what they did on AAA?
No, what happened?
Jellybean is just sounding better and better every time we talk about it, right?
It's like the promised land.
You'll never guess what Sarah said on TNT.
And Apple can take advantage of this. It's now just turned into a game of can they match Google in price.
Gosh, I sure am learning a lot of stuff on know-how.
Yeah, I can't wait to root my phone.
How to root a Kindle Fire with software version 6.3.1.
Hey, Burnett, you hear that one caller on the tech guy? Stealing Wi-Fi again? Dude, did you hear that foul language they use on NSFW?
Oh, and Brian messing up the...
Yeah, I know that the Diamond Club is your little winky wink thing, but it kind of works for those lonely housewives, too, because they won't know what hit them.
Thanks for watching Twit.
Be sure to catch us next time on Gumple and Burnett. White Heat, beat the heat.
That Veronica packs quite a punch. Oh, you can see the disapproval written all over her face.
You know, you got to teach him how to do a spit take. You don't do a spit take into a
camera.
Bucket away from the camera.
No, you should do right into the camera.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's got to be a spray.
Here, let's just try.
No, don't do one.
Let's just try. No, you tell me something surprising.
I'll just
Robert, do you mind?
Bit.
Just sit back a little bit.
I'm fine.
Robert, just tell me something surprising.
I think your staff quit the other day, the whole company. You don't spit on the person.
No, I mostly hit the AC.
Now we've got Leo on the set.
Here, sorry. A little bit of my DNA spread out around there.
I guess we can bring in the CSI team here.
Acer, I'll be sending you back your Ultrabook tomorrow, just so you know.
Oh, yeah, this is an Acer Ultrabook. This is the new one.
Yeah.
Hey, good news. BlackBerry 10 is going to have Siri-like voice commands.
That thing, by the way, is not absorbent.
We'll send it back to the factory.
Now, just in case you were wondering.
What's your name? Erica made me this. She crocheted. This is the Twit logo. And you know what? Erica really revealed something important. I had never knew what's on the back of the Twit logo. Apparently, it's a butt crack.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what everyone suspected.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Erica. That was very nice of you.
So is that knit or crocheted?
It's crocheted.
Crocheted?
Yeah. She's really good.
Could be.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we got lots more. Actually, we don't. We have nothing more. This show is already over.
Is it?
I've been filling it.
Well, that's fine.
There's no news. Well, I have one more story about California. That'll leave 90% of the audience out in the cold. What are you looking at?
I was looking at the chat room.
Just tell me something else. Some surprise.
What?
Tell me something.
This is what the problem with the show is. Show us the Nexus 7 again, the chat room says. Right. By the way, I was in the chat room and I got kicked out for the last time.
Please put John back in the chat
room? No, I'm not even on the thing. The computer.
Our show today brought to you by our friends at audible.com, the greatest audio bookstore in the world, 100,000-plus titles. I have now got it hooked up so that Audible plays through my stereo, and I listen in the whole house. I've got it on the Sonos system. So I have, as I'm walking around, as I'm vacuuming, doing the laundry, everything. I hear my book. It's so great, and I need that because I'm listening to The Stand, which is like 56 hours of nonstop Stephen King, and I thought
you were listening to this last time you talked about this.
It's a long freaking book. Huh. I'm almost done, and I'm trying to decide. And this is one of the things I really like about Audible is with all these titles in fiction and nonfiction, they've got history, they've got sci-fi, they've got thrillers, technology. But I think this is going to be my next book. The latest Daniel Suarez just came out. You know, he's the guy who did Demon and Freedom TM. Have you read those books, John?
I can't read those books.
What?
No, they're too hard to read.
Well, you should listen then. You could listen.
Now, that's a good idea.
Do you spend any time in the car at all?
I rare, only to come up here.
On the
Most
Stairmaster?
Most of the time I stay home. I try
like
not to get out.
I'd like to see you on the Stairmaster.
I've been on a Stairmaster. It's like walking upstairs. Have you ever seen my house? I have to walk up three stories just to get into the house.
You know
what?
You need Audible just to go upstairs. Put on the headphones and walk up the stairs.
Yeah, that's a thought.
It's good. Kill Decision is his new one, the techno thriller about unmanned weaponized drones.
Oh, yeah. This is considered to be the cool novel to read right now.
He is so great. I love Daniel Suarez. And if you haven't listened, they do have Freedom TM and Demon, his other books.
Somebody told me that this book, this one, the one that just came, this one you're talking about,
Let's listen.
Is very much of a no agenda.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it
story.
Is. Black Helicopter's kind of.
Yeah.
Jeff Gerner, let's listen to Jeff reading.
People. Lazo offered the printed report again. According to geeks, you've got the closest tail, sir. Okay, I got it. Jordan grabbed the printout and clicked
Jordan
on one
the
of
geeks.
The three LCD.
You've got the closest tail, sir.
I love it. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to Kill Decision. You can get this for free. Just go to audible.com/twit2. Actually, you can get two books. So what you could do is get this, but get Demon, too, if you haven't read that. What a great book. Daemon.
I actually have a copy.
It's so good. Daniel Suarez is one of my favorite authors.
Well, I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we'll get him on a Twit sometime with you.
He's
a fan. He's a great guy.
Yeah, bring him on.
Yeah.
Where does he live?
I want to say Colorado. Not nearby, but he comes out here sometimes. Hmm. He's really, and maybe Southern California. Maybe it's Southern California.
Yeah.
Audible.com/twit2. You'll be signing up for the Platinum account. That's two books a month, but the first month is free. That means your first two books are free, and you can cancel at any time, pay nothing, and still the books will be yours to keep forever. Audible is great. Do you listen to Audible books at all?
I do, actually. I fly a lot, so that's primarily the way I listen to books, because I read books because
right.
I can't read on a plane. I get dizzy.
Right. What have you been listening to lately?
It's a fat thing.
No, it's not.
what are you listening
to?
He's going on the Steve Gibson, Leo Laporte, Sugar Hill diet.
And that's just to tick off Dr. Mom in the chat room.
I can't read in a car.
Why not?
I get car sick.
Yeah, me too.
But my daughter can. She just reads like crazy.
Well, it's not genetic then. She might be interested in this. California has passed a bill legalizing voice-activated hands-free texting while driving. You think that's a good? I think that's a good way to handle it.
But see, this
it's like
goes
putting
against
on a speakerphone.
It goes right. against everything that they were trying to establish when they made the texting law in the first place, which is it's about distraction.
In fact, that anti-texting law, they say, accounted for a 47% drop in cell phone-related traffic accidents, traffic deaths.
How do they know this?
Well, they compile statistics, John.
Yeah,
The number of fatalities from auto accidents in California has fallen 22% since the 2008 law banning handheld cell phone use behind the wheel.
You know, 99% of statistics are made up.
No, this is only as good as the technology is perfected. Because what happens when you do voice to text? You always have
and you
end
look
up with
at
errors.
The phone and
right,
fixing it.
Right now, you have to check to see if
that's
it's right.
Even worse.
You find
you're right.
The word that's wrong.
Right.
No, that
you're
space.
Right. You're
this
right.
is not going to work.
No.
I think it must be. I have to think Ford and the other automotive manufacturers. The biggest fear that these companies have, and I'm not saying this because of any insider knowledge of Ford, but I have to think the biggest fear these companies have is that consumers want all these technologies in there, and governments are you know saying no, this is causing distracted driving. Ford has always contended that if you do speech, if you do voice, that we know they say that's safe, but as soon as you're starting to twiddle a knob or look down, that's a problem. I don't know, just a thought. Appeals court will not stay the injunction on Galaxy Tab sales. This is the victory Apple had in court, preventing the Samsung company from selling the Galaxy Tab 10 in the U.S. They cannot make or sell the tablet computer or any similar device in the U.S. On Thursday, U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit rejected Samsung's request for a stay. So it's in effect. So I hope you got your Galaxy Tab 10, because you can't get it now. Thank you, Apple.
Yeah, you know, a few angles on the story. The first thing is, it's not the Samsung Galaxy Tab that would have done really well. It's the Nexus 7 that is just eating
right.
Apple's lunch right now.
Right.
The second thing is, this is a ridiculous lawsuit. I mean, basically, Apple is claiming the thinness and the rounded corners.
Right.
Belong to them. Where
we own all tablets, basically, is what they're saying.
There's that picture circulating on the internet. I'll put it in again
of the original iPad.
Well, no, the Samsung rounded corner iPhone looking device that came out a year before the iPhone.
Right.
So if you're looking at that design type, Samsung actually came up with it first.
I just don't get it. Do the judges not look at these things? Do they not?
Yeah. I've been in a couple of these lawsuits. You've been an
expert witness, right?
Yes. Yeah. And this, the way these come out, it's like, holy crap, whether it's the judge or not. I mean, I remember the old one where one of the modem companies was suing everybody over the dot commands. It was
Hayes commands.
And they
the
won.
AT commands.
And it turns out when they deconstructed what the jury decided, it was because somebody said, well, on the plastic box it says patented, so therefore it must be legal. Seriously. So all the work they went through, they hired all these people, and it was just some dumb little thing. It's crazy. People
would have, sad.
I mean, the real question is, why are these patents being granted in the first place?
Right.
And there was a great story, I think it was the New York Times not too long ago, that was essentially saying anyone who can do this well, anyone who can do patent law well, works for a company that gets patents.
Right.
So the people in the patent office are your second and third stringers, not to offend anyone who actually works for the patent office.
You mean the examiner?
He just did.
You're not very good, so.
You suck. It's the best we could do. Earliest known photos of an Apple iPad prototype. This is an interesting bit of work by Yanni Heisler and Eye on Apple and Network World. He's taking depositions from Johnny Ive in cases like this.
Johnny Ive.
And tying it to, and this is the deposition, to this image here, a mock-up, the 035 mock-up from, get this, 2001. 2002.
Mock-up of what?
This is crazy.
2002.
So it turns out, if you follow it, that Apple was working on the iPad before they started working on the iPhone.
We've talked about this before.
And they were like, And so they went back to making the iPhone.
That's
having made it, they were then like, now we can take the iPad back off the shelf and make that.
This
we
is
have
what
the technology.
This is what the Walter Isaacson bio said.
That
Steve Jobs had nixed the tablet, saying, we don't have it. We can't do it. But they had this model. And, you know, this model looks a lot. It's a little thicker, but it does look a lot like the iPad that eventually shipped. This is from 2002.
It looks like the old white MacBook Pros. It looks like a MacBook Pro without a keyboard.
And that's what they were
like
making.
Early prototype tablet PCs.
MacBook. Yeah, a lot thicker. Still has the 30-pin connector. Doesn't have a home button, which is kind of interesting. That was an afterthought, I guess.
No, did you see the story that Nokia came out with? They're saying that they invented the smartphone. They had the exact same thing in the around 99 or
they
so.
They should sue everybody.
And they had a, the home button and everything.
They should
and
sue everybody.
And somebody said, nah, it's not going to go anywhere.
There's no hope. Kodak loses its patent case against both Apple and RIM. That's kind of the end, I think, of the line for Kodak.
And Kodak, by the way, uses stacked ranking.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you asked last time you were on for people to send you emails about other companies using stack ranking.
And I know that we got a lot of anecdotes.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of companies use this technique. This was the technique that was very controversial, written about in the Vanity Fair article about Microsoft, and posited that that was one of the reasons Microsoft was poorly run.
I would think that is part of the reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Has John ever done a really good explanation on Twitter of what exactly stacked ranking is?
Did you do that last time?
I don't think it was a good explanation.
I think you did. I think you explained it. So the idea is it's kind of like Survivor, actually.
Yeah, that's what it is. You have, depending on the model, Microsoft uses a 5-step model, and you are forced, because it's also called forced ranking. There's about 3 names for this thing. And you have a team of 10 people, and you have to rank 2 of them a certain number. They have to get the top number, which should be a 1. And then you have to, in your group, depending on what the HR people want, you have to at least rank one of them a 5, which means if they get ranked 5 twice at Microsoft, they're fired. If they're ranked 5 once, they're put on probation. They don't get a raise and all the rest of it.
Wow.
And then so you fire them, and then you bring in a new person. You keep doing this, so you essentially get rid of everybody. And it's like, so you lose all your talent if you keep this up. It's very effective in the first few years of its use.
Yeah, because you get rid of the dead wood.
Early.
And then people start eating each other up.
Yeah, it's a really bad system.
Leo, given that this has been likened many times to Survivor, the TV show, and given that it seems to be practiced mostly by tech companies, I've sort of got a new Twitch show.
Procter & Gamble's one of the big proponents
of
it.
You know, every Friday, Twit Survivor.
Oh, what a good idea. We could fire an employee every
fire
Friday.
Everybody.
Who stays, who goes.
You're doing that now, aren't you?
Yeah, I do that anyway. Yeah. I think it's just good hygiene. Just fire somebody every Friday.
Will we have an immunity channel challenge?
Yeah. Do you think we should introduce, a little feats of skill in this?
That's the thing that's missing from the stacked ranking.
Who can get you coffee the fastest? Who gets a 5 for coffee making?
Ah.
Who can get a 2-pound salad?
Well, I know that Lisa has apparently the Pellegrino hidden under her desk.
She's right there. She's got it. If you want some Pellegrino,
it's
we'll
too
get
late
you
now.
Some.
I was back there looking, and then I was told, no, Lisa's got it all.
Do you have it hidden under your desk? I think we did, actually. This was the thing, and I have to talk to Lisa about this, that I knew that Tech TV was going under when they eliminated oatmeal from the snacks.
Well, they took the milk out, too. Remember
they
that?
They took the milk out. And I think we just did the same thing here. So I'm a little nervous that I might be out of a job soon.
You know, the thing that always got me about Tech TV is that they had all these women that were when you put them in a chair for 2 hours, they were some of the most beautiful women in the world, which is classic broadcasting.
Television, yeah.
So when they started their layoffs, the first people they fired were the makeup people?
Yeah.
Did you find that peculiar? Yeah. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Why do you do that?
This is television.
It's television. You don't. This is the last people you fire.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Google says some Apple inventions are so great, they ought to be shared.
Ooh.
I think that's an interesting point of view. This is in a letter to the Senate Judiciary Committee. Google General Counsel Kent Walker says that because of proprietary or de facto standards can have just as important effects on consumer welfare, the committee should, I don't know how to say this in anything that doesn't sound acronym, regarding the abuse of SEPs should encompass them as well. I think a lawyer wrote that. I'm sorry, I don't understand that. I'm going to go back to the headline. Google says some Apple inventions are so great, they ought to be shared.
I agree with that.
Apparently John Pekowski can read lawyer.
I think what they're saying is that where Apple inventions become the sort of de facto standard for things.
Like the example you just gave of a Samsung tablet is going to look like an Apple tablet because there's really only one way to do a tablet.
Yeah.
But, you know, Google...
But where something is like that, you've got to be able to share it. And I guess things like FaceTime, right? If FaceTime were to kick off and become the entire dominant standard for video communication, then they would say, well, you should probably share that.
This is... Pachowski writes, standardized technologies facilitate interoperability among disparate devices by giving them the same core functionality. They create a platform for competition. Non-standardized technologies differentiate those devices, create competition, and drive innovation in the marketplace. Subjecting non-standards essential patents to the same rules as those governing standard essential ones will hamper innovation and harm consumers. It's another way of saying what we've been saying all along.
Google has experience with this, though. They had to do this themselves because when they became the de facto standard for search,
right.
Remember all those lawsuits about, well, we think they're toying with the search rankings
right.
or
right.
They're pushing their own results. And Google had to show that they were playing it cleaner than everyone else so everyone had a level playing field. Basically, they're asking the same thing of Apple. They're saying, look, you have a responsibility now. Now that you've been a trendsetter, now right. that you've actually set the standards for the industry, you can't claim.
Let those standards free. It. Yeah.
Right.
I like it. I think we're pretty much out of time.
That
on
sounds
the,
like it to me.
On the show, we kind of lost all our steam here.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you start quoting lawyer speech,
it'll kill any show.
It'll kill the entertainment at all.
There's the DOJ suit.
Kitty Gina Meow Santos says, "Very cute, Erica. Nice job. Yeah, likes the logo. Likes the logo."
What's inside the thing?
What's inside of that? Is that hypoallergenic?
It's the cat. Life essence.
A dead
of
cat.
The Twit bug.
Just looking at the tweets, see if there's anything interesting here. There's lots of them, but
no, I think we've run out of steam.
I think we're done.
Yeah, well, the show's an hour and 45 minutes. I mean, how much, you know?
Yeah.
It was
how
a slow
steam
week.
Do you need?
All the
Chad, have we done all the promos? Have we done all the...
You had Tom Merritt come in. He had to drive all the way in. Now he's back home.
I think we're done. Chad Johnson, our producer, our steamed producer, put this panel together in the show.
I didn't know. He's steamed about what?
He's steamed.
It's hot.
John C. Dvorak of NoAgendaShow.com.
NoAgendaShow.com. ChannelDvorak.com.
Out twice a week.
It's yeah. It's been twice a week now for a couple months.
I love that. I think that's a great running gag. It's just you and I are the only ones who get it.
I think there's others.
Robert Ballister, the new host of This Week in Enterprise Tech, tomorrow noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern time. Can't wait.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a lot of fun. 1900 UTC if you'd like to watch live. We will make on-demand versions available after the fact. About an hour.
About an hour. And so what you want to do is you want to watch it live because we do some interactive features yeah. with the show where you get to learn a bit more about the enterprise world. But if you do watch it live, what I suggest is because a lot of the material is dense, download it later. In fact, download it a couple of times. You need the audio version, the video version, and the high def version. So just go to twit.tv/Twiat.
I am very grateful to you, Mr. Will Harris. We haven't seen you in ages, and it's so good to get you back. Will Harris is the guy who runs ChannelFlip.com. He's a media mogul in his own right, a youthful Rupert Murdoch.
He looks a little like him.
I'm not sure about that. Somebody said the other day that if I do, this is not really going to work for the audio listeners, but if I do sort of, it's quite Angry Birds.
I think it's more like Angry Pig, but that might just
what the be. What?
Thank you for being here, Will. He'll be on TNT tomorrow, actually. That's kind of cool.
I will be on TNT, and you can follow me at Will Harris.
On TNT, the network, TV network?
No, we have a show called TNT Tech News
Today. You haven't been sued yet.
No. Oddly enough, that is 10 a.m. Pacific.
It's funny because I was just talking to Tom Merritt.
Were you?
Just before he came on the show. Oh. And he was like, oh, I'm just driving up to the Twit Cottage, going to do the head.
Yeah, he just comes up here, then runs out.
It's weird.
I know. You know. He's got things to do, places to be. TNT is our daily tech news roundup, and you can watch that every Monday through Friday
it's
at 10 a.m.
It's quite good, by the way.
It is very, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have you been watching it?
I watch it once in a while.
Yeah, I like it. I'm very happy with it. It's 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, 1700 UTC if you want to watch live. But we do also make downloads available of that in all of our shows. Thank you all for being here. We'll see you next time. Thanks. Another Twit.
He's amazing. Okay.
Oh, now they applaud. I got to figure out a way to let them know. We need an applause sign.
Yeah, definitely.
Ooh.
That'd be cool.
Ooh. Yeah. Mm.